Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to our Bible study. I can hardly believe that here we are recording our February 2021 study. How quickly these months seem to fly by. And we're working our way through the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. I'm glad that you've joined us, and if you've got your Bible, you could perhaps open it as we look together at chapter 19. I've got my Bible here, and we're going to work our way through verse by verse, not in any massively in-depth way, but just to learn together. Genesis 19 and verse 1. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. And when Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth and said, "My lords, please turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet, and then you may rise up early and go on your way." But they said, "No, we will spend the night in the town square." But Lot pressed them strongly. So they turned aside to him and entered his house, and he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. And this chapter shows us that when Lot split from Abram, and Lot chose what looked the better part of the land, that he hadn't just moved near to the wicked city of Sodom. Not even that he had chosen to live in Sodom. But these verses reveal that he has become a leading citizen now of Sodom. That phrase, sitting at the gate, is the Old Testament or the Hebrew way of saying this is where the leaders of the city held court. He'd become a judge in the city, and we read that in a later verse. So clearly Lot had settled down and is completely at home playing his part in this wicked city. And as we read on, he calls there in verse 7 the evil men, he calls them my brothers. And then we discover that his two daughters are pledged to marry two of Sodom's inhabitants. And Lot, as he meets these visitors, he knows how bad and wicked this city is. It's not that he's been deceived. He knows how bad, what a wicked, evil place this city of Sodom is. And so he pressed them strongly, we read, to stay with him. He knew it wouldn't be safe for these visitors to spend the night in the town square. Verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people, to the last man, surrounded Lot's house. And this tells us, emphasises, that the extent of the evil in Sodom, it's not just a small minority that is influencing and giving Sodom its reputation. Rather, this is how the whole city is. It's full of evildoers. It's full of wickedness, both young and old, we read, and to the last man. Verse 5. And they called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them." Lot went out to the men at the entrance and shut the door after him. And now, of course, living as he does in this city, he finds himself in a precarious situation. Being an active member of the ungodly, unbelieving world always leads the Christian, the God follower, to precarious situations and decisions. We're saying no to unbelieving friends and family's invitations. that will take you away from church, take you away from Christian fellowship, and which are against God's ways, inevitably prove too much for us. We don't want to upset anyone. To avoid upsetting folk, we go along with them. Obviously, we don't want to upset family or friends, because that would be such a poor witness. But this account shows us the exact opposite is true. Our witness is ruined and comes to nothing when unbelievers see how easily we are persuaded to go their way, how loosely, how weakly we hold to our Christian faith, so that almost anything at all comes before our commitment to God. Verse 7. Lot said, I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. I beg you, he says, pleading with you. My dear friends, I don't want to upset you, I beg you. And this is what happens when Christians become tolerant of the ways of the unbelieving world. When we spend more time in and with the ways of the world than we do with the ways of God, the ways of the Lord, and with church, it erodes our values, dulls our spiritual nature. So instead of standing firm against the evil of Sodom, Lot doesn't want to upset them, doesn't want to stand out as different, and so he soft pedals his beliefs, begs them to understand. And we need to watch this, brothers and sisters, the gradual acceptance of the unbelievers' wicked, anti-God ways, in the way that we live, in what we watch, what we spend our money on, the places we go to, etc. Well, all of that changed Lot, and his whole life ended disastrously for him. So anesthetized had Lot become to the sin and wickedness that over time he now can do this very terrible thing. Look at this. Verse 8. Behold, I have two daughters who have not known any man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do to them as you please. You read that and you find yourself repulsed. How could a father possibly do a thing like that? And the answer is because of the awful situation that Lot found himself in. By trying to be a friend of the unbelieving, sinful world, he was totally painted into a corner with no way out. Sooner or later, such a choice for Lot was inevitable, because you cannot compromise with wickedness and not be affected by it. So, verse 9. But they said, stand back. This fellow came to sojourn and he's become the judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. They pressed hard against the man Lot and drew near to break the door down. But the visitors, the men, reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck with blindness the men who were at the entrance of the house, both small and great. So they wore themselves out groping to find the door. You see, deviation like this carries uncontrollable lust and desire. So that, did you watch this? That even when they were struck by divine blindness, some almighty power was against them. Even when they realized that, so filled with evil that they continued trying to fulfill their evil desires. Lust had taken hold of them and had such power over them. Verse 12. Then the men, the visitors, said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone in the city, bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place. And so Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city. But he seemed to his sons-in-law just to be jesting. And you notice how very clear Lot is in taking this get out of here message. You can almost hear him shouting to them, get out of here, as he takes this message to his family. But his message was let down by one simple thing. They looked at him and they noticed that he hadn't done it himself. And I say to us all again, our witness, our words to unbelievers carry no weight at all when they can see that our Christian faith holds so small a place in our everyday lives that we don't do it, don't live it ourselves. And so if we witness to others, we better be sure that our lives back up our words and demonstrate obedience to God's words. Otherwise, it will be for us just as it was with Lot, where his words were just laughed off. Verse 15. As morning dawned, the angels turned, urged Lot, saying, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city. But Lot lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, and the Lord being merciful to him, they brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought them out, one said, escape for your life. Don't look back. Don't stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away. Warning is very clear. This is your chance to escape. Don't look back. Don't hanker. Don't pause. Don't hanker after worldly ways. Verse 18. And Lot said to them, oh no, my lords. Behold, your servant has found favour in your sight, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot escape to the hills, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Behold, this city that is near is the one to flee to. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved. And again, what a picture. We see that Lot is so ensnared by life in sinful Sodom that, oh yes, he's so pleased to be saved. He agrees to move out. But don't make me move very far. I don't want to move far away. And people do that in the Christian life. Oh yes, I want the gospel. I believe the gospel and I want to be saved. But I don't want to leave the old life entirely. I don't want to give it all up. So verse 24, we read, the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. It's an interesting phrase there, that God overthrew the cities, not just destroyed, he overthrew them. The great city of Sodom had stood against and opposed Almighty God with its sin and its wickedness. So now God comes and overthrows the whole city. And our society is much the same. It's opposed to God. It's evil in all its ways. It fights against God's truth. It laughs and mocks at his words. It opposes all God's morals. But God is clear. He will overthrow all opposition. And so as God promises to overthrow the unbelieving world, the big thing that you and I never want to be is to be part of those who oppose God and who God is set on overthrowing. Verse 26. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. The warning is never to be tempted to look back, to go back, never to dabble with life the way that we used to live, life the way that unbelievers live. Don't do it. Keep looking on. Fix your eyes on heavenly things, says the scripture. And so verse 27. Abram went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Remember that he had pleaded with God at a certain place, and Abram here goes back to that place, and he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley, and he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. And so it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abram and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when God overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. I believe this is an important little section for us Christians, because here we see that Abraham's time of intercession with God on behalf of others is not forgotten. When God destroyed Sodom, we read that he remembered Abraham, and that time that Abraham asked God for mercy for those in the city. We remember how he starts with saying, you won't destroy it if there's 50 righteous. And he works right down to 10. But now it's clear that there weren't even 10 righteous people in Sodom. But even so, God remembers Abraham's intercession. And the encouragement that comes to us is that God will remember yours, my intercession, as we ask for his mercy on our friends, on our families, on those that we know who are unbelievers. And so in the final verses, verses 30 to 38, we see how Lot's drifting into this life of worldliness ended, as I said earlier, so disastrously. And it gave rise to two nations, the Moabites and the Ammonites. So verse 36, thus both the daughters of Lot became pregnant by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. The younger also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. And he is the father of the Ammonites to this day. And so the Moabites and the Ammonites, who became great enemies, always in opposition to the work of God from this point on. What a very sad legacy that Lot left through giving in to the temptation to go back to the world, to have 1 foot and 1.5 feet in the world, putting self first and tangling with the unbelieving world leaves a disastrous legacy and an awful witness. And that's chapter 19. And so I leave you with a couple of little questions to think about from this chapter. And I ask myself and I ask you, do you have a ministry, a regular ministry of intercession with God as Abraham had? How encouraging to read that God remembered Abraham's intercession on behalf of others. And then, as we've looked at these verses, what danger signs do you see in this story for God's people today? Well, we'll leave it there and we'll pick it up again next time with chapter 20.